We are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and your parts.
Ooh, you bet your buns we do. We also invite a third party to join us here in the sack. We'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
Hello, lover. You're looking nice today.
Oh, thanks. The face for radio, as we were just talking about, you know?
No.
As haggard as you need to be on the mic.
No, you got a face for a VHS.
Oh, thank you. No, high def over here, please.
Me neither. Hey, you know who does have a great face?
Yes.
This NYC stand-up writer and misandress. She's the founder of the Headless Women of Hollywood and the lead singer of Free the Mind.
She's written for Reductress and performs comedy all over town. We are hot and bothered to welcome Marsha Belsky.
Hello.
What up?
Hey.
Thanks for making sweet love to us today.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be invited in with a married couple, you know?
Yeah.
Is it the first time?
First time for me, yeah. First time caller, long time listener.
We do get a lot of calls.
Yeah. People begging to do three ways.
They beg us.
Oh, the begging is just, you know, it's the only thing that gets us going anymore. You know?
We had to clip the landline because we were getting so many calls.
Of course.
Have you guys ever thought about doing like a sex line operator thing, but like the two of you together?
Yes. I think we should just turn the show into that. I think that was a great pitch.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
We could at least cover our drinks cost.
Right. The 900 number. Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss those 900 numbers.
Me too.
They're still around.
They are?
Yeah. Mm. They still advertise like late night. I'll see them when I'm staying at a hotel.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's always like very localized, you know? So they try and throw in some local humor, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The regional. Yeah. You're in New England and there's some sort of clam chowder thing being floated. Yeah.
They're like full from clam chowder.
And everybody just pops a bone immediately.
Yeah.
Well, we're a classy podcast, are we not?
We try to be. So we like to wine and dine our guests.
We do. Marsha asked for a cranberry spritzer.
Yes, a refreshing bev.
A sober one, because it's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I know.
I respect that.
Thank you.
I do, too. And we need that sort of restraint, because otherwise we just start day drinking and then...
I would. If I didn't have to go back to work, I would.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would.
Yep.
We'll have you
back for a boozy sesh.
Yes. Yes. Nighttime boozy sesh.
What do you guys say we slip on over to Sexy Science?
Yes, please.
Ooh. Yeah, let's do that.
What do we do here, lover?
Well, we rip articles from the headlines to discuss topical matters of our hearts and parts.
Yes, and this one comes to us from Jezebel. We rip a lot of them from Jezebel. This one's titled, Fox reportedly uses Trump's Access Hollywood tape to teach its employees about sexual harassment.
Grab her by the pussy. Grab her by the pussy. Grab her by the
cool
pussy.
Cool song.
Grab her by the pussy.
All right, that's
grab
it.
Her by the pussy.
I found that on YouTube when I Googled grab her by the pussy. I don't know what it is.
I always also forget to adjust the levels in my headphones. So the voices are one thing, but those sound cues always get me. That one rattled my bones.
Well, I know.
That song said it was featuring Lil Wayne. And I was like, I don't know if that's just a total farce.
You could just put that on YouTube and get like millions of views.
Yes.
Featuring Lil Wayne.
Do you mind if we tag your episode of the show?
Featuring Lil Wayne. Yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. Marsha Belsky featuring Lil Wayne. So basically it was reported last week that Fox and Bill O'Reilly had settled five times with women who'd accused the TV personality of sexual harassment. We all know that. Trump defended him, calling O'Reilly a good person.
Yeah, privately, though, Fox uses that Access Hollywood 05, you know, that jam, Grab Her by the Pussy tape, featuring President Trump and Billy Bush. They use it as a cautionary tale and a teaching moment in its sexual harassment seminars as an example of how Fox staffers are not to act at work.
Mm-hmm. Or just don't get caught.
Yeah.
That's what they're teaching.
That's what I was actually saying, yes. Yeah. It feels like to me this is more of a, hey, remember, there's always a hot mic.
Yeah.
So
I think it's funny because I think like with the Bill O'Reilly now and Roger Ailes before, it is always funny where these people always said it's not about politics, whatever. But they really are fine with these guys saying any racist thing they want. But the second their attacks come against conservative white women, that's where they draw
up in
the
arms.
Line.
Oh, totally. Of course. Yeah.
And it's like, of course, you know, like they're like, I really think that deep down they're like, these women will never speak against us because we've kept them in their place. And then when even those women are like, no, I want your job. They're like, what?
Yeah.
What? I thought we had an agreement. Yeah.
So,
and then they pay them off. And then deny it. And then it's just weird that Trump's defending Bill O'Reilly and Fox defends Trump. But then behind closed doors, they're like, listen to these terrible things.
Yes, mm-hmm. I would love to. I think I would pay like $40 to see that seminar.
The class, I know.
Yeah, I would.
Well, Trump also defends like Alex Jones, who like believes that like the Newtown massacre never happened.
Sure.
And like things like that.
Oh,
so it's like,
But he's loud, though, you know?
Oh,
that's the thing.
Very loud.
He speaks at a volume that makes it believable.
Oh, my God. I just want him to die on air.
Yes.
I want him to just have a heart attack.
Yes, a full-on stroke
he
and a heart attack. Both.
Because if you see him screaming, he looks like he's on death's door.
Oh, no, I know.
The veins come from places that you never knew they existed on the human body.
His face is the color of this, like, deep red
tablecloth. Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's, like, completely terrifying. Yeah. You can't look away.
I know. Yep. It's like a car wreck.
Yeah.
I know. Well, and also there was, like, with the Bill O'Reilly thing, then him and that prick Jesse Waters, who did the racist Chinatown video.
Yep.
If you remember that.
Oh, I remember.
So
yes.
They did a segment on sexual harassment, just sort of underplaying it and like things like that, saying that women make it up, etc.
I think that it's so interesting that they use this tape, though, because I used to work in like publishing, regular desk job sort of thing, and we had sexual harassment training, like you have to in most corporations. And it was always just like, don't touch anyone. Don't like, no quid pro quo, no, like, don't stand in the doorway in a creepy way. Like, we were talking about this
right,
week.
Right.
But they never, like, played a celebrity.
Well, they didn't have that 05 footage. They didn't have that X's Hollywood. I imagine they would have.
They didn't have that tape.
Yeah.
I think you guys are right that it's just, like, do not get caught.
It definitely
is.
Oh,
absolutely.
You could be recorded at any time.
Well, and even when people were, when, like, the Republican pundits were reacting to the tape, and this is always goes back to the way it is treated with, like, quote unquote locker room talk, is there's nothing wrong with what he said. It's wrong that women heard it.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like, there's nothing wrong with him, like, trying to pounce on a married woman like a bitch. But the fact that the married woman and now her husband is the main problem knows about it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Because the locker room talk, you know, that doesn't translate to just, you know, how you live your day-to-day life when you're outside the locker room.
Right. Yeah. Your honest conversations with people you trust don't really reflect who
you are. No. That's
right,
when you're,
Billy
that's
Bush,
when you're, yeah,
that's, your most trustworthy friend.
I mean.
Yep. Oh, Billy.
If I were talking to Billy, I'd have some tales to
tell. Well, that was the saddest thing to me, is besides the creepiness, the chauvinism. Like, the chauvinism is sad in itself, but what's sadder is that the president of the United States, the current president, felt he had to impress Billy Bush so desperately
that
he said shit like that.
Yeah, Bush was on a level at that point in his mind that he's just like, listen, between you and me, hey, you know what I'm saying, guys.
Well, and fuck Billy Bush, but I also feel like 1% bad for him, because I'm like, he probably was like, ew, this is gross, but had, because he's the
I
guest, had
what,
to be like,
yeah,
yes, ha ha ha.
I'm sure he's heard hundreds of men say things like that to him privately. I'm sure it didn't stand out as him to anything weird. Like,
sure.
That's
you know,
probably true.
I have, and I'm no Billy Bush. I feel like the moment, you know, there's a lot of that locker room talk that floats around, and it's always like that moment where they just want an acknowledgement of what it is. And I guess if you're like a people pleaser, Billy Bush,
exactly,
like, gotta go into game mode, gotta do my Access Hollywood show.
But it's
Trump
pretty,
probably could have said anything in that moment. And Bush would have been like, yeah, all right, cool.
It's pretty telling of Trump's like deep, just that is who he is, that he thought that was just really normal and comfortable.
Sure.
Because you're right. He Billy's heard it all, but you're like, it's kind of like when you talk to anybody and they'll just say something insane to you and you're thinking that you're like, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there and you're like, oh my God, I just realized you're crazy.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
also reminds me of the fuck it, we'll do it live. Cause that's another speaking Bill O'Reilly too, which that leaked out. And I always wonder who's like, how many tapes are people sitting on? Have you seen this one?
What's the fuck it, we'll do it live?
He did it when he hosted, wasn't Entertainment Tonight, but it was like one of those, not a current affair, I don't know. It was one of those like tabloid type shows.
Where he's a talking head reading on a teleprompter.
This is Billy Bush?
No, this
is Bill O'Reilly. Okay.
And something, he doesn't understand some context of something they're saying. Sting's going to play them out, like the music of Sting. So they're plugging a Sting album.
Right.
So he's looking and he's trying to do it, and it's just that like Anchorman meltdown moment where he's like, thank you for watching tonight, and Sting is going to play it. Play it. What? I don't understand what that means. And he just like starts getting heated. He's like, I'm going to play us out. What does it mean to play us out? To end the show?
It's so
and they're like,
amazing.
Yeah, Bill. And he's like, all right, fine. Let's do it. And then the car's going. He's like, and tonight, well, no, I can't do it. I can't even read it. The fucking thing sucks.
He literally he just couldn't read a sentence. And he's just lost his
mind. You got to YouTube that one.
And he screams repeatedly, fuck it, we'll do it live.
He looks at his watch and he's
I
like,
bet.
Well, there's no time.
These men are all 5 seconds away from a meltdown at any moment.
Yes.
And the thing, I think it goes back to like, you know, when you're growing up and they say that it's actually harder for a kid who's gotten straight A's his whole life, the first time he gets an F, it's going to be harder for him than the kid who gets C's his whole life and then finally gets an A or whatever.
Yeah.
And
Bill doesn't hear no often.
So that's the thing. Yeah, he's and with Trump, the first time he's ever been told no, he's president of the United States.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. It's a scary time.
I know, but Bill O'Reilly, I'm going to get him in my basement. I have Mike Pence currently in my basement, the real one.
Nice. Nice. Take your time with him.
That's exciting. Yes. It's been really cool.
That's amazing. I think he'll be excited to see Bill O'Reilly when he comes down.
Little about me, I have Mike Pence in my basement.
Oh, I didn't see that in your bio.
I try and keep it like hush-hush. You know?
Well, thanks for sharing. What do you guys say we spun over to Listener Love?
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Yes.
Listen, a mailbag.
Yeah.
What do we do here, darling?
It gets you starting grooving, but then it just dies out on you. Here we got people that tweet at us. They email us. Sometimes they just ask us on the train or at a party or a bar questions, advice. They're looking for advice.
Mm-hmm.
We're fucking shitty at giving advice, so we hope you can help us.
Love advice, yes.
Awesome.
Haz, who do we have today?
Our number one question comes from Ronald in Boston via our email, menageatrois.radio@gmail. Ronnie says, I am thinking of setting up a Tinder profile and need help with a bio. Here are some things about me. I am very muscular with a good physique. I am a nurse. I love my cat, Wanda. I am also nice and good at drawing. Can you write me bio? Wow.
Can you write me bio?
I've got him. You guys have been married for a long time.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
Three plus years.
Okay, so not like crazy long.
No.
But I haven't had Tinder in a long time. But I will say I know what looks good for men versus what doesn't, and he's got to play up the cat angle.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Don't
absolutely
play up the muscular physique.
Don't
angle.
Play up the muscular physique. They can see that themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Maybe even downplay it, because for me, if a guy is too in shape, I'm like, my clothes are staying on.
Yeah.
This is not.
Yeah.
You don't get a free peek.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
And the nurse, the male
nurse could be positive.
I like that.
Helping
list it like you're humble. Just say
casual. Yeah.
Have your description be like male nurse, cat lover, picture of you and a cat, and the girls will be like, he seems humble.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
Keep it simple. How many characters do you get for those? They're short, right?
I feel like they can be really long, though, actually. I don't think there's a limit, because I've seen these like psychos that will do like fucking 5-page diatribe Tinder profiles. And then they're like, my poor friend was like, showed me his Tinder profile, and it was so preachy and it was so like philosophy. And then he was like, I never get any swipes. And I was like, I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. You can't.
Here's why.
It's your memoirs. It's that you made your memoirs your profile.
No girl wants to already know that too much, like that much before she even, you know, goes on a date with you.
Nope.
Well, and I think like even more important than what people say, the tone, like you saying it's preachy. It's always really annoying when someone comes off like they're like telling you how to live.
Yes.
I think fragmented sentences even is the casual, just like
absolutely
you just said.
Absolutely, like, fragmented.
Yeah.
Registered
like a
nurse,
Twitter bio.
Cat lover, yeah.
Well, and here are the things that you don't do. Do not put that you are a feminist if you are a man on Twitter, because not that men should not be feminists, but I've never met a man who has to like proclaim it as if it's something very special about him who actually truly gives a fuck about women as equals.
Agreed.
Like,
agreed.
You know, they want that. That is, to me, that's them saying, if you don't give me kudos for this, I'm going to flip out on you.
Yeah, because
like
I saying, told you I was a feminist.
It's like saying not racist.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I just want that to just be.
Exactly.
The,
no one would ever put that on their Tinder
evident
profile.
Everyone's like, I'm a Holocaust believer. I believe in it. I swear it happened. All the numbers are on point.
That I think we just created the perfect profile.
Yeah. Holocaust believer,
Holocaust
feminist.
Holocaust believer, feminist, not racist.
Not racist. And here's my cat.
Hashtag love the gays.
Yes. Oh, you've covered all the bases.
Wow.
All the swipes will come in.
And now there's this thing that I don't really like on Tinder where the men will list their height because the women are saying no short guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really messed up. And I've even had girlfriends be like, you know, how dare this guy message me? He's short. And I'm like, that's not a great. Let's, you know. But then the guys will say the opposite, is they say, like, no fatties, I guess.
Right.
Some of these guys say
that. Well, and that's all garbage. But do you think there's a small part of that that's just cutting to the chase?
Yeah. Well, and that's what they say. And that's what I'm like. But then I've heard men be like, this is why I don't give a fuck about when girls say, like, they're objectified or whatever, because they're doing the same shit to us. But it's like, it comes from the same, like, different ends of the same coin.
Yeah.
For sure.
Also, I mean, the no fatties thing is like in objectifying in that sense. That's the you're in a battle of because the height is what it is.
Yes.
Not going to stretch yourself out. But the means of control is they're like, ooh, a little fat. Like, oh, maybe you could eat this or not eat this.
And
or maybe
any
you
guy
could...
who says no fatties is secretly watching BBW porn. Like, there's they fetishize it. Well, and also, it's the thing, too, where it's like, if you put... I have this plan where I'm going to do a Tinder intervention where I get on and schedule dates with 20 of these no fatty guys, and then they show up, and it's like me as a professor. I'm like, thank you so much for coming.
Like, yes, it's like To Catch a Predator fat shaming.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Yes, To Catch a No Fatties.
Exactly.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Make them face it. They're like, look in the mirror and weep.
Yep. Yes, yep. I'm going to do a full re-education program.
Love it.
All right. Well, Ronnie, I believe it was, mm-hmm. Marcia wrote you a lovely Tinder bio. Good luck.
And yeah. Pictures of the cat. That's the. I mean, when I see a man holding a cat, there's just nothing sexier.
Yep.
For me, yes. But some girls might not like it. But you don't want that girl anyway.
No. If you don't enjoy a cat photo, get the hell off Tinder.
Get the hell off.
Haz, do we have anyone else?
We do. Our second query comes from Dora via our Facebook Menage a Trois Radio. D asks, "My friend met her boyfriend on the train. I find that very romantic. Any idea what the best New York City train stops are for romance?"
I'm going to vomit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my worst nightmare to meet somebody on a train.
Yeah.
I don't really have any strong feelings about that, but this just feels like a fluke where someone like got lucky. I don't know if there's any. I know stations that are so gross that I'd be shocked of any romance.
Yes. Right.
You've had a sexual encounter on a train.
I did. That was a late night situation. I wouldn't say I met a girlfriend on a train.
I've had something like that once.
Yeah, I was a tug job situation on the platform. It was a 6 train. It was late. It was late at night. It was not on the train. There was nothing romantic about it. I couldn't even get erect. It was a rough.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You had a stranger
romantic.
Just come up to you and give you a tug job?
It was a woman who we had a long conversation, got on the train. And what I realized is, this is when I first moved to New York, I went way past my stop. And I ended up having to get off and go around the other side. And she followed me around. And we were talking Spike Lee films. We were talking about a lot. She was initially asking for money when she got on the train. Yeah, can I get $1? Can I get $2? I got to get a train ride. I got to get home. So we crossed the platform and went around. So it was almost a near prostitution situation.
Yeah.
And I kind of gave her money that I had in my pocket. But then we were just standing on the platform. And I was in no condition at all for any of this. And it was just... Both
you
of us, neither
drunk,
one of us
right?
were into it. It was just like, well, what's going on? And there were three people. It was probably like 5 a.m. So there were three other people just either across the other side or standing
you
just
had
watching.
Had a little audience.
Wow. And couldn't perform. And
Only in New York,
yeah.
Do you know what stop that was?
For our listeners.
It was, yes, it was the, oh my word. No, I don't. It was off of the, it was actually off the 4-5 train. It was when I lived in Crown Heights.
But you went way too far.
I went way too far off of my stop. I was the Franklin stop. But this was like, I went 10 or more stops
too far.
So I'd say
deep Brooklyn,
yes,
4 or 5.
Yeah, that's
romance.
Where you can find
platforms,
romance.
5 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes. You want it to be
$11.
Not very busy, you know. You don't want, you're not going to find love on a busy platform. And I would say, if you're a man, unless she's making like serious, intense eye contact with you, you probably made it up. Don't talk to her.
Agreed. Yeah. Yep. Those earbuds are in for a reason.
Exactly.
Don't make it, the moment you have to have someone take their earbuds out, I think that's step one. Leave
like,
the earbuds
if
in.
If she talks to you, if she pulls your dick out of your pants, that's one thing.
Right. Yes. There was something going on there. There was a little spark, I will say, in that situation.
Yeah, because if you flip those roles and a guy followed you to the other side of the platform when you'd taken your train
terrifying.
Before,
oh,
I
yeah.
would just start like screaming.
I know.
Certainly,
like,
yeah.
Kicking.
Well, my dad is like, you know, he's old. He was born in 1944. He grew up in Philly. And he would tell me things like, you know, oh, I used to pick up women on the train. Like, you know what I mean? It used to be, I think, more of a thing where you go up, can I have your number, blah, blah, blah. But now I think maybe with cell phones, like, numbers feel so personal.
Yes. Yeah, there's too much you can learn from them. It's not a landline that you could just maybe my answering machine will get it or not.
Like, if a guy asked for my number, or now lately, like, this one guy was like, can I follow you on Facebook? I was like, that's the most terrifying thing I've ever been asked in my life. Like...
Follow? No.
Absolutely not.
Can I friend you on Facebook? I was just like, no.
No, I'm going to let it sit there. I'm not going to respond. Yeah.
I love that. You're just like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
bye.
Then they go, are you serious? Oh, well.
Very serious.
Fuckers.
But love would have to, it just have to be right
place,
right
time.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about? Foot traffic? You trying to go volume? Times Square then? I don't know. Union Square.
And I'm not a big fan of the taking pictures of people on the train thing either.
Oh, so the sneak photos are amazing.
I think it's really over. Like, and this one guy I know posted a picture of a woman and just said, like, most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I'm like, that lady is just trying to get to work. Yep. Please don't take a picture of her. Yep. Like,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Or people take a photo of someone sleeping and they're just like, look at this person. And you're like, yep. Yeah, that's a sad situation.
Yeah, that's a what sleepy little fuck.
How many likes? How many likes did
I have taken dog photos on the train.
Dog photos are fine.
Yeah, I agree.
And their owners never mind.
Yes.
Like,
everybody gets it.
Yes. No, I've taken a photo of a dog and the owner smiled at me while I was doing it. That's that's different.
Dogs. Also, it's very straightforward to know when you have, because we live near the park, so we don't have a dog, and we would love to have a dog, so we pet everyone else's dog.
Yes.
But again, it's a very quick idea of consent. You put the hand down for
exactly.
a sniff.
Exactly.
You know if that dog wants you to pet or not, and
exactly.
then you pet. But a lot of people just come running up, and then the dog kind of gets
train,
nippy.
Like, and men don't understand, a train is literally the most trapped situation you can be in. So train platform is one thing. It might be annoying if you weren't interested, but that's, it's like, you
there's
get on the
exit.
Train, it's over. Yeah. But when you're on the train, I've seen when a man starts talking to me or a man starts talking to another woman, it is just so uncomfortable because you're like, I'm trapped.
Yeah.
It's not romantic.
Totally.
It's like Beauty and the Beast. Like,
and
you're trapped.
And you can't be as like as curt as you would usually be either, because you're scared if you like make a crazy person angry, that could like escalate quickly.
Yeah.
I think that's what half of the sick passenger announcements, there's delays. It's probably just someone won't leave a lady alone.
Absolutely. Probably.
Right. So good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck.
MTA. Yeah.
Anyone else? Easy?
Lastly, this is a question from Ken via Twitter at Minaj Radio. Kenny wonders, I noticed that my lady love has a curve to her spine while we were doing doggy style. How do you diagnose someone you love with scoliosis?
Oh, my gosh.
Unless you're a medical doctor, I say probably not.
I feel like, isn't the spine supposed to curve a little bit?
Right. Especially
does he really know?
Yeah. Does he know if you back that ass into it, that it might be a little bit of a of an arch of the back?
Well, it depends which way. It's
the bend?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I'm not, again,
scoliosis,
a doctor.
Scoliosis is like an S instead of your spine supposed to be straight.
It's not like
it's supposed to be an I, but it's an
but
S.
But I feel like undiagnosed scoliosis is really rare because most of the time they...
School.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
bend you over and run their
I don't think it develops
when,
as an adult. I think you have to have it or you don't.
Right.
There's two things
And
there.
You'd know, I think, if you have it. It's not one of those,
I think so.
You might have it, I
also,
don't.
Also, if I was the girl and my boyfriend was like, hey, while we were fucking, I couldn't help but notice your fucked up back, I'd be like, am I so unattractive?
Yeah, really.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I think if you don't know each other as well or is it a new thing, I'd be like, fuck you. Don't tell me what's wrong with my body. But I think if you're actually in love and you're worried, you can just say that.
Yeah.
You can be like, you're lovely, but I noticed this and I'm worried about you. And they'll either be like, fuck off or whatever.
Or they'll be like, I've known I had scoliosis since I was 10. Thanks for bringing
it up. Yeah, thanks.
Or something subtle like a back brace, or ask them if they were homeschooled.
Right.
Try a back brace.
The subtle back brace.
Just buy them a back
gift.
Brace with a rose in it.
Yeah.
True romance.
Yeah.
But like, what if we were boning and I noticed a
growth.
A discolored mole?
Yes.
Would I be remiss not to say something?
I think if you're comfortable enough in your relationship, yes, you should float anything that you see.
If you see something,
back to the MTA,
there are a lot of male partners who, like, I've had two of my girlfriends say that their partners found a lump in their breasts from when they were hooking up. Yeah, because they noticed it was something was there, and then they got it checked out.
Ooh, the central mammogram.
Interesting.
Yeah, but
I've never thought of that.
Both of them told me it was the worst because, you know, it's like you go from like being like turned on, and then he's like, "Whoa, babe, like what is this?" And then you're just like, fuck, I have cancer. Like,
I'm going to die.
Yeah. It's like the least sexy. Like.
Yep, that's the that kills the mood. Cancer kills the mood.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, mention it if you have a positive relationship.
Sex doctor.
Exactly.
Diagnosing it on the fly. That's a thing, right?
Mention it.
Yeah, that's definitely a CBS program, sex doctor.
Well, thank you to our listeners for those exciting questions.
Yes, thank you so much. Now we have some questions for our guest.
We do.
Marsha.
These are six sections. They're six rapid-fire sex questions. All you have to do is answer as quickly as you can.
Okay.
Ready?
Number two.
What song lyric would you sing to steal America's heart?
What song lyric? Somebody to Love.
Mm-hmm.
What's the sexiest animal?
Giraffe.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
Oh, I don't know. Pass. I'll come back.
If you were to make love to a piece of furniture, which would you choose?
Couch.
Would you rather have a Would you rather have an explosive orgasm once a month or a mediocre orgasm once a day?
Explosive.
Explosive.
And lastly, 69 or 420?
420, dude. Let's see, what celebrity do I want to fuck? Let's go with Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs.
Ooh, yes, Tay.
Really hot.
Follows me on Twitter.
He did. Yeah. He did a mass. He was one of the people who just.
He mass follows.
He mass follows. Or he hired someone said, I'm just going to follow everyone.
You know
everyone.
Who else does that? Adam Carolla on Instagram. He mass likes. Anytime you hashtag like podcast, it gets Adam Carolla like or something or comedy maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Hmm. We got to bait him into.
Yeah. So does Zonde. Another Tay, right?
Another
Tay Zonde, the Chocolate Rain.
Song. He followed me on Twitter once too. Yeah,
he's a mass follower.
Yeah, I think that's just people hire someone.
I know. Get a better PR, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't be so. Yeah. Don't beg so much, you know.
I know.
Wait, I want to ask some follow-ups. Mm-hmm. 420, excellent.
Yep.
Literally love weed.
Yes, it is great.
Yeah. Literally love it, and I would much rather have an explosive orgasm once a month as opposed to mediocre.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yep. Yes.
Quality over quantity.
Yes.
What is it about the giraffe?
I don't know. When I was thinking sexy animal, I was going to go with dog, but that seems too real. Like maybe I would fuck a dog. Right. So I was giraffe. I was just thinking long neck. They're very like kind of like awkward but hot, which I like really relate to. Yeah.
Yes.
And like, you know, I just think really I can relate to that. I just went with giraffe. I just thought of their long neck and legs.
Yeah. I think it's a good one.
But then I'm thinking like kind of fucked up because I was going for stereotypical beauty there.
Right.
You were? So. Yes, the runway model of the
animal
kingdom.
No one says catfish.
No.
Oh, no, or like walrus or anything like that.
Yeah.
I do think octopuses are like weirdly sexual.
Ooh, those
I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like tentacle porn I think is like gross.
Yep.
But they just like, they change colors and the way they move is like just very cool.
Yeah, yep. The way they move is beautiful.
Like, they're like from another era or another
they're
planet.
Aliens.
They're straight up aliens.
Everything in the ocean is
Yeah.
aliens.
You get to the bottom of that.
Speaking of 420.
Here's a little secret. Did you ever notice all the aliens in the sea?
What was the furniture? The furniture was
the couch. I mean, I just figure what's the first thing I humped as a kid? Couch.
Yep. Yeah.
Classic.
Definitely.
Probably the first orgasm most of us had.
Yes. Absolutely.
Or the jet skis on the pool.
Yeah.
I actually think that was the first. I didn't realize till years later when I was younger. I used to love, me and all my friends used to love to just put our vag straight up on that water blower thing in public pools, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like, you know, just recently I was like,
constantly.
We were coming. Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. We were just straight up. Yeah. We were coming in Sunday.
I would pretend I wasn't doing it.
Me too.
And I would like try to pretend like I was just hanging out. And I was, no way adults weren't like,
they knew.
You're stuck to the side of the pool. Like,
they knew because now
concentrating so hard.
Oh my God. I see horny little kids now and it's so weird and funny because you're like, I know exactly what you're doing, but you have no idea.
Yeah.
Like,
nope. Yeah. You think you're in your own little world, but we've all been there. I feel like I'm one of the I've never heard another dude say that they've done this because my folks had an above ground pool. It collapsed at a certain point, but it was, it had you'd put your arms up on the side, same thing, and go on the jets. And I actually came. Once
really?
from jets blowing
on
my penis.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't create, I don't know if it created enough of a whirlpool or
I
suction
mean,
or what.
I bet you're at that point, like,
anything.
So
the wind
sensitive.
Blows the right way. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you can have an orgasm, just anything that touches it in the shower.
Yeah.
You know?
It's true. I miss those days.
I know.
Oh, no.
Now you got work.
I know. Now dry humping's just like foreplay. It's like, honestly.
Yeah, it's never going to get
more
you
more fun than people give it credit for.
Dry humping.
We dry humped for a year before we had actual sex.
Really?
Yes, we did.
Because we were trying to like be friends so we could work together.
Yeah.
Just dry humping friends.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, friends who dry hump.
So
friends
weird.
Yep. That should have been your podcast name. Friends who dry hump.
The chafing was off the charts.
That's true. That's so true, though, actually. The chafing's unreal. You can't dry hump in jeans.
No, you cannot.
Denim
especially
is not
like,
a fabric
no.
for dry hump.
Tight, skinny jeans.
No, you can't.
Like, I'm like rubbing my skin raw.
No, yeah. That's a sweatpants move.
Yeah, and then the dick is kind of like curled.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just trying to break free. Yeah, it's
trying to get an angle.
Yeah. Yeah. We tortured ourselves.
We did. But it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Let's slip on over to get it wet.
Ooh, make it wet.
So this is a contest between the three of us, okay. And Haas will be the judge. Okay. What we do is gather excerpts from various mediums not written to be sexy at all.
Yes.
And we read them trying to make them real sexy.
Yeah, put on our sexy voices. Haas, what's our source material?
Well, Today, we're going to be reading Amazon reviews for Pepsi.
Amazon reviews for Pepsi Cola.
Cool. Pepsi, okay. Yeah, 12-ounce cans.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
Yep.
So first up, we have Diana.
Great.
Now, drink up, Buttercup.
Think I will. All right. 5 out of 5 stars. Just a comment, not a bad review, because I love Pepsi. I gotta say I love Pepsi like crazy. It's my addiction, and the price is like double when I can get a $6.99 24-pack in Kmart here where I'm at cheaper, but yeah, I prefer to save my money and get them from Kmart. 3 people found this helpful.
Oh, my.
Thank
you. That got me going.
That was good.
It was all one sentence, so I had trouble, like...
I know.
...upping the ante.
5 out of 5.
Damn.
All right, well, moving right along. I'm going to have Murph step up.
Murph.
And let me hear you make some bubbles, boy.
2 out of 5 stars. Box looked like it had been rolling around in the back of a truck. Arrived ripped and taped to keep it together. Shame the tape couldn't fix the dented cans inside. One person found this helpful.
Ooh.
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 I mean, that's more on the delivery driver.
That's
going
to be hard to top. Yeah. That's true.
Haas?
Yeah. Murph, great performance.
Thanks, Haas.
Yeah. Yeah. But lastly, we have Marsha.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. So you have your material. Now go ahead and carbonate that ass.
All right. 5.0 out of 5 stars. Quote, good soda. Amazing price. Value for money. The soda arrived and I drank it. I gave one to my neighbor and he drank it in the hall. 0 people found this helpful.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Jeez. Wow. This is a tough one. I'm going to have to go with Marsha.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a good review that's just an anecdotal thing about you handing out that has nothing to do with the product, really.
Poor guys. Oh.
And no one found it helpful.
No one. No one ever will.
Oh, and he checks it every day.
He does.
Sure.
He's just looking for one.
Poor guy.
That's very sad.
I'm going to go find it and find it helpful after we leave here.
That's so nice.
That is nice of you.
Thank y'all.
That man is sad. You know what else is sad?
That we have to say goodbye to Marsha.
We do, but our listeners do not have to say goodbye. Head on over to MarshaBelsky.com and follow her at MarshaBelsky.
And hey, if you're in Los Angeles, don't miss Misandry with Marsha April 21st, 8 p.m. at the Lycric Hyperion.
Lyric.
Yep. Lycric carbonated. 0 people found that helpful. Lyric Hyperion featuring Kate Berlant, John Early, Phoebe Robinson, and more. That's a hell of a lineup. Thank you, Marsha, for joining us.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank
this is so fun.
Hell yeah.
We also legally have to thank our producer, Little Orphan Beanie. That's Ben Hosley.
Oh, no.
And our mama UCB Comedy for hosting us. Please tweet at us at Menagerie Radio.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Mike Pence. Marsha, we'll see you soon.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.